Good evening. Thank you so much for joining us tonight for our time of ministry in the Word of God and our Bible study. Our God is good, He's amazing, He's awesome. Hallelujah. I trust that you and your family, you and your loved ones are doing well, enjoying the goodness of the Lord in this season. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Well, thank you so much for joining us, whatever platform you're joining us on, and wherever you are in this country or around the world. It is a great privilege to be able to get together with the saints around the Word of God. We're so excited tonight. It's another opportunity that the Lord has given to us. I'm going to dive in almost immediately, so that we can cover some ground before our time is up again tonight. Would you please bow your heads with me and let's share a word of prayer together. Father, in the name of Jesus, we thank you for tonight. We give you the glory and we give you the praise. Thank you, Lord, for how good you are, how good you have been. Thank you for loving us with an everlasting love. We don't deserve it, but God, you have never, ever taken your mercies and your love and your kindness away from us. So we honor you tonight. We give you praise. Thank you for the privilege of being able to come around your word with the saints. I thank you so much for all of my brothers and sisters, everyone that is joining us tonight, everyone under the sound of my voice. I speak the blessing of heaven upon them. I pray, Father God, your anointing that is here, your mighty presence that is with us here, might be with them there. And God, that you might unleash upon them just the graces that you have prepared for us for this service. Lord, I ask that you loosen my tongue, that you think through my mind. Father, I ask that you give us ears that hear and hearts that understand. Help us, Father, to take the next steps in this process of renovating our minds tonight. We give you all the glory, Lord. We give you all the praise. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen and amen and amen. And I thank you so much again for joining us tonight. Hallelujah. We have been studying together for a couple of weeks now. This series of lessons that we have titled, Renovate Your Mind, Elevate Your Life. Renovate your mind, elevate your life. Let's go back to Isaiah chapter 55 and let's read from verse 8. The Lord speaking through the prophet Isaiah, he said, "For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. For as the rain cometh down and the snow from heaven, and returneth not there, but watereth the earth, and maketh it bring forth and bud, that it may give seed to the sower and bread to the eater, so shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the thing whereto I sent it." Hallelujah. Our thoughts are often not God's thoughts, because our minds often are not aligned with the mind of God. There's so much that the Lord is seeking to get to us, to impart to us. in this series of teachings. And I am so convinced that our lives will be changed if we are diligent to study the Word of God, if we are diligent to apply the things that we learn and study together, if we are diligent to meditate the Word and to practically take them into our lives, our lives will never be the same again. I am so sure our lives will never be the same again. When you renovate your mind, you will elevate your life. First, I hope you have joined us for the last two teaching sessions. If you haven't, and tonight is the first time you are joining us during this series of teachings, you do need to go back and listen to the first two parts. Praise God, you have not missed too much. You have missed just two parts. And we started out very slowly and laid a good foundation with the help of the Holy Spirit. And we are just building now. We are going to go on for a while in this series of studies. I don't think it's going to be too long, but there's just so much that I believe that the Lord is seeking to get to us, get to the saints through this series of Bible studies. And I am just looking forward to great testimonies in all of our lives as we study God's Word together. Glory to God. Glory to God. I won't do too much revision because I don't have a lot of time. And I want to finish on time again tonight. That's my desire again. So far, I haven't been able to hit it, but I believe I'm going to try. I think I'm going to get it done tonight. The Lord is going to help us. Wherever we get to, when that time is up, I'm going to stop. And by God's grace, we're going to continue next week. Hallelujah. Glory to God. The Bible says in 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 7, we have this treasure in earthen vessels, so that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. There is the treasure of God's revelation, the treasure of God's empowerment, the treasure of God's light, the treasure of God's redemption and renewal was given to us in our spirit. When we gave our lives to Christ, we became new. Immediately, our hearts were renewed. The Lord gave us a new spirit, a new heart. The old heart of stone was taken away. Hallelujah. Our spirit became new. So the Bible says we have a new man. That's how it describes our spirit being, our inner man. We have a new man, a new person. The Bible says in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17, therefore, if any man or woman be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. When we come into Christ, we become new creatures in our spirit being, the real us. Remember, you are spirit, you have a soul, and you live in a body. Even though our spirit was changed, even though when we gave our lives to Christ and became born again, immediately there was a transformation in our spirit. That's why we were called born again. That's why we're described as being born again, right? Even though there was that transformation in our spirit, well, our bodies didn't experience any change. If you remember, the day you gave your life to Christ, however it was that you gave your life to Christ, the same clothes you were wearing before you prayed and gave your life to Christ is the same clothes you were wearing after you prayed that prayer. The same look The same way you looked, the same way your face, your body, every part of you physically, the same way you looked when you gave your life to Christ is the same way, exact same way that you looked after you gave your life to Christ. And that is, I know that is funny, but it's true. That is descriptive of what happens in the life of a child of God when they give their lives to Christ. That's descriptive of what happens in the life of every human being when they give their life to Christ and become believers. Nothing changes in our physical bodies immediately. We have a flesh. Our flesh is embedded in our physical body. That flesh, even though we pray the sinner's prayer, even though we invited Jesus Christ into our hearts to be our Lord and Savior, that flesh continues to desire the same thing it has always desired. If you used to lie before you gave your life to Christ, your flesh still wants to lie. If you were a glutton before you gave your life to Christ, your flesh still wants to be continue to be a glutton. Hallelujah. If you are an alcoholic, if whatever you were before you gave your life to Christ, in your physical being, continues that way until you begin to effect a change. Now, the same thing applies to our minds. Amen. When we gave our lives to Christ and we became new creatures, we've already read this, we've studied a little bit about this in our last service. We actually read from one of our Abundant Life publications, and tonight I'm going to read another excerpt from another one of those publications that's really going to be very helpful to us in our studies tonight. And a lot of what we're going to do over the next few weeks, from time to time, I'm going to make references to some of these write-ups, some of these publications. Amen. As we study the Word of God together. Amen. Glory to God. But when we gave our lives to Christ, our minds didn't change. Our minds remain exactly the same. Glory. And even though we are reborn in our spirit, even though we are new man, new woman, our minds continue to think exactly the same way. And because our minds remain the same, there has to be a work of renovation so that what has been deposited in our spirit, the treasure that has been deposited in our spirit being, can be transmitted to our physical lives through the agency of our minds, so that we can learn to begin to think like God thinks. It's not automatic. And it's only when we think like God thinks that the Word of God can produce in our lives what the Lord intended. Look at that scripture again that we read tonight in Isaiah chapter 55. Is it, "My thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are my ways your ways, your ways my ways, saith the Lord. As the heaven is higher, heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. As the rain that comes down," and then it describes what happens when his word goes forth. "As the rain and as the snow that comes down waters the earth and gives seed to the sower and bread to the eater, so shall my word be that goes forth out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the thing whereto I sent it." In order for the word of God to bring a newness to our entire life, there has to be a renovating of our minds. All of us were raised somewhere. We were raised under certain influences. You may have been raised in a great family. You may have been raised by some other person or some other people outside of your biological family. All of us were raised by influences, things we heard, things we saw. And some of these influences stayed in our minds and conditioned our minds to think a certain way, to believe a certain way. And so there is a need for a work of renovation in our minds. Hallelujah. I want us to just move on real quickly tonight and to press on in the Word of God, to press on. Apostle John, he said in 3 John 2, I pray above all things that you prosper and be in health even as your soul prospers. Well, our soul determines the prosperity of our lives. Our souls determine the well-being of our lives. If our souls prosper, our physical beings will prosper, our health, our lives, our relationships, our finances, our families, our marriages, our aspirations, everything we seek to do in our lives, we will prosper when our soul prospers. The soul is the seat of the mind, the intellect, the will, the emotions. It's in our souls that our decision maker resides. Our decision maker is the mind. The mind is what decides and determines the direction of our lives. If you want to go to the grocery store, that decision to go to the grocery store is not made in your body. That decision to go to the grocery store is made in your mind. And when your mind makes that decision, your mind also follows up by making it happen. It tells your body, get the car keys. The car keys are hanging in the laundry room. Your mind tells your body, get in the car. Turn on the ignition. All of that is directed by our minds. And you drive. When we drive, we get to the grocery store. It's our mind that tells our bodies what to buy. Oh, we need some cereal. Pick some cereal. We're running out of eggs. Get some eggs. It's our mind that determines a lot. In fact, every bit of our actions are rooted in our minds. It's why the Bible says in Proverbs chapter 23 and verse 4, as he thinketh, or as a man or as a woman thinks in their minds, so he is, so she is. Of course, in that scripture, in the Old Testament, it says, as he thinketh in his heart. So you find that we'll discuss, we will study this a little bit. Just we won't get too deeply into it, but we'll discuss this as we go. A lot of times in the Old Testament, the distinction is not very clear. Many times in the Old Testament, the distinction is not made very clear between our hearts, our souls, our minds. A lot of times, in the Old Testament, they are usually lumped together. But when we get into the New Testament, you see there is a very clear delineation between the heart, the soul, the mind, emotions, decisions, will. All of those are made very clear in the New Testament. So we will look at that, not too much, because the mind itself is almost like an organ of sense, but it's different from the heart. Also, you know, when we talk about the mind and when we talk about the heart, we're not just talking about that physiological structure. We're not talking about that organ, that physical organ in our body. When a lot of times when the Word of God refers to the heart, it is talking about the center of your life. When you give your heart to Christ, it's not the organ. It's the center of your life. In the same way, many times when the Bible refers to our minds, it's not talking about the physical organ, the brain. Even though the brain has a lot to do, with the decisions of the mind, but when the Bible refers to the mind, it's really talking about that being, that faculty, that sensory faculty, that reasoning faculty that enables us to think and to act by making decisions. Glory to God. So the Bible says in Proverbs 23, verse 7, as he thinketh in his heart, but really means in the mind, in his mind. You see in the New Testament, that's made much clearer. As he thinketh in his mind, so is he, so is she. So if somebody thinks godly thoughts, they will be godly. If somebody thinks ungodly thoughts most of the time, no matter what they are doing, they will be ungodly. If somebody thinks positive thoughts, they will be positive. If somebody thinks negative thoughts, they will be negative. And of course, there are so many influences that determine the thoughts that reside in our heart. Satan is the god of this world, right? So he rules in that outside realm, that worldly sphere. And a lot of the thoughts that are resident in our minds, even though we are believers, a lot of those thoughts are out of the realm of this world. Thoughts that have been planted most of the time from way back, long before we even knew what we were doing. Thoughts that were planted in our mind, sometimes by our parents, by older influences, sometimes people that taught us in schools, in colleges, people that raised us, our friends, the people that we flocked with, people that we had interactions with, the things we heard, the media, things we heard a lot, repeatedly, things that our minds are already conditioned by all these different factors. But the Bible says, as a man thinks in his mind, so is he. As a woman thinks in her mind, so is she. So in order to begin to live the God life, in order to be able to enjoy the life of God that has been given to us in our spirit being when we gave our lives to Christ, we have to be reconditioned in our mind. We have to be reconditioned in our thinking. And this is a very deliberate, intentional, practical work that we must do, every single one of us. Hallelujah. We'll be able to press into that a little bit tonight. I'll give you just a few little examples here and there. But this is so important. Remember, the Lord Jesus Christ said in Mark chapter 9, verse 24, all things are possible to them that believe. If somebody thinks possibilities, all things will be possible to them. If somebody thinks impossibilities, then things will be impossible to them. If somebody thinks advancement and progress and growth, then growth will happen. In fact, one of the concepts, I can't really get into it tonight, but as we go along, you'll see, we'll talk about it. I'm sure the Holy Spirit will bring it at some point. It's you know, when the Bible says in John chapter 1 from verse 1, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by him. Without him was nothing made that was made. In him was life. That's Zoe. Life or abundant life, and that life was the light of men. And the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness cannot comprehend it. The darkness cannot stop it, cannot hold it back. And it's really amazing to me. Think about it. Even with development, we're not even just talking. We're not talking even real deep spiritual stuff. But just think, even science and advancement in technology. I know, recently, think aeronautics and space travel. Some of our astronauts who were in outer space just returned, who had been kind of there for several months. They thought they were going to be there for about a week, but for some reason, logistics, equipment, all of these different things, they really only just returned several months after they were scheduled to return. But think about it. Think about what man has been able to accomplish through their mind, through the imagination of the mind. And I'm thinking, with that scripture, in him, in Jesus, in Christ was life. And that life was the light of men. And the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. Do you know there are many places in the world where advancement and technology and progress of humanity happened just because the gospel went there? I'm reminded of a lot of our history in some of our home countries, home continents. Many of us who came out under the great influences of missionaries. And I remember when the missionaries came, even though they came with the gospel, they also came with certain things that we were not familiar with. And through that, advancement came, technology came. A lot of it really was because the mind of the people started to become enlightened. In many of those places, the minds of the people started to become enlightened. And as their minds started to become enlightened, growth started to happen in their nations. Now, of course, in many of the places, the people have still refused to fully live out the influence of the light that came, and they continually succumb to the darkness. And so you see in a lot of those nations, even though there's been a lot of knowledge impacted, a lot of enlightenment, because they decided to reject that knowledge and to reject that light, because they made the decision in their mind, the light that should have begun to reign and to rule in their communities was stopped. It's such a powerful, powerful context. As a man thinks in his mind, so he is. You are what you think. You are what you think. No matter how long you have been saved, no matter how long you have been in church, you are exactly what you think. If you think you will be sick, you will be sick. If you think you will die young, you will die young. If you think you will not make progress in life, you will not make progress in life. If you think you will not prosper, you will not prosper. If you think there are limitations on your life, there will be limitations on your life. If you think God has broken every barrier and every bondage and you are free to become anything and everything that God created you to become. If you think like that, that's exactly who you'll be. Glory to God. Hallelujah. The greatest, we said this last week, I think, your mind is your greatest limitation in life, and it is the only thing holding you back from your promised land. Now, I've got to add something to that and read a couple of these scriptures tonight. I'm finding myself kind of just a little bit just almost pressed to just not move too fast. continue to lay this foundation, but lay it slowly, not move too fast. These are very important concepts. These are life changers. Oh, I love a good preaching. I was listening to one of our messages on a podcast earlier this week, and I was so blessed, so excited, just fired up my faith, just put a pep in my step, and I was so excited. But then I started to listen to a teaching. This teaching, the one we did from last weekend, and renovate your mind and elevate your life. And there was just such depth to that word that I found I found change happening in my life, even as I was listening to that teaching. Oh, the word of God is so powerful. I love the preaching of the word, praise God. But I tell you, the teaching of the word, learning precept upon precept, line upon line, studying together like this, like we're doing tonight, and just going slowly through the word of God and renewing our minds, renovating our mind, I tell you, is the greatest way in which change comes to a life. It's the greatest way. I need to add something to this. Your mind is the greatest limitation in your life and is the only thing holding you back from your promised land. The greatest limitation in every life is the mind. But I need to add this. The greatest potential for growth, for well-being, and for success in every life is also the mind. So I know, yes, we talk about how limitations can hinder the well-being of our lives, limitation in the mind. I know, we talk about that, we know that. But we also need to talk about the fact and the truth that the greatest potential for growth, for success, for well-being in the life of any human being is their mind. Let's read a couple of scriptures tonight. You know, in the Old Testament, the Bible describes these people how they limited God. Psalm 78. Let's read that real quickly. Psalm 78 from verse 37 to 41. How they limited God. Look at it. Psalm 78 from verse 37. For their heart was not right with him, neither were they steadfast in his covenant. But he, being full of compassion, he forgave their iniquity and destroyed them not. Yea, many a time he turned his anger away and did not stir up all his wrath. For he remembered that they were but flesh, a wind that passeth away and cometh not again. How often did they provoke him in the wilderness and grieve him in the desert? Yea, they turned back and tempted God and limited the Holy One of Israel. They limited the Holy One of Israel. That's Psalm 78 and verse 41. They limited the Holy One of Israel. Do you know why and how come they were able to limit God in their lives? It was in the mind. Because they limited God in their minds, they limited God in their lives. To limit God is to make him small enough to fit within the boundaries of your unrenovated, unspiritual, natural mind. Let me say that again. To limit God is to make him small enough to fit within the boundaries of your unrenovated, unspiritual, natural mind. You say, yeah, God, he took us through the Red Sea. We crossed the Red Sea. However, that's different. Red Sea is different from we are hungry now, we need manna, we need food. You know, yeah, he opened the Red Sea and helped us get, but can he also provide food for almost 2 million people? How will he do it? Where what kitchen is he going to cook the food in? And where are we going to even get, how much food can we get to supply our need for almost 2 million people in this wilderness? See, they limited God and what God could do in their lives by limiting him in their mind, by their unrenovated, unspiritual, natural minds. They tried to fit God within their natural minds. That's why we said the greatest limitation in the life of any human being is the mind. When we try to fit God within what we know, who we know, what we have. Yeah, the Bible says to them that believe all things are possible, but how is he going to bring into my life that promise that he has made me? How is he going to do it? I mean, it's a hopeless situation. I don't know anyone who has ever experienced that. I look at the details of what's going on around my life. I'm running out of time. And how is that? How is it going to happen? How? See, that is putting God limiting God within the confines of our unrenovated, unspiritual, unrenewed natural mind. And so when we do that, then we are limited. And the Bible says, as he thinks in his mind, so is he. So we think God can't do that. He can't get that to me. I mean, how can I get that kind of job that I believe the Lord has promised? How can I ever supernaturally get that kind of job with all these natural limitations that exist? I don't know anybody. I don't talk smooth. I didn't go to the best colleges. My resume is great, but it doesn't match that the level of that kind of opportunity. In the same way, so how can God heal me? How is he going to do that? See, the limited God, by trying to confine him to the boundaries of their unrenovated, unspiritual, unrenewed natural minds. And so they were limited. God was limited in what he could do for them. Before I close out tonight, I'm going to try to, I trust God as well. We're running out of time here. I'm going to trust God that I can touch one or two. There's just so much that I believe that the Lord will have us get into. But again, I sense a need to go slowly. And the Holy Spirit is helping us do that. Now, listen, the greatest limitation in every life is the mind, but the greatest potential for growth, well-being, and success in every life is also the mind. You remember the story, let's read this, another Old Testament story. Remember the story of the Tower of Babel, right? The story of the Tower of Babel in Genesis 11. Now, we're not talking about highly spiritual, so spiritually sophisticated people and mind. No, we're talking about the potential of the mind. That the greatest potential in every human being for well-being, for growth, for success, and every other accomplishment is in the mind. Let's read together in Genesis 11 real quick. I'm going to read this from verse 1 in the Amplified. And the whole earth was of one language and of one accent and mode of expression. And as they journeyed eastward, they found a plain, a valley in the land of Shinar, and they settled and dwelt there. And they said one to another, come, let us make bricks and burn them thoroughly. So they had brick for stone and slime, bitumen for mortar. And they said, come. Remember, notice they are saying all these things. Come, let us build. Come, let us get mortar. Come, let us get bitumen. All these decisions were being made in their minds. Come, let us build a city, verse 4, and a tower whose top reaches into the sky. And let us make a name for ourselves, lest we be scattered over the whole earth. Verse 5, and the Lord came down to see the city and the tower which the sons of men had built. In fact, they had started building it. They had started building it. Just by making those decisions in their minds, by imagining, by creating imaginations of something that they could do, and agreeing together. Remember, notice they were individuals and then together they were corporate. The imaginations began from the individuals. And then they came together corporately to join hand in hand to pursue those imaginations. And once they became one and they began to pursue those imaginations, it started to happen. They actually did start to build a tower that was going to reach to the heavens. And the Lord came down in verse 5 to see the city and the tower which the sons of men had built.
verse 6, and the Lord said, behold, they are one people, and they have all one language, and this that they begin to do, and now nothing will be restrained from them which they have imagined. Or let's read that from the Amplified. They have all one language, and this is only the beginning of what they will do. This is only the beginning. Why? Because they imagined it. This is only the beginning of what they will do, and now nothing they have imagined they can do will be impossible for them. And now nothing they have imagined they can do will be impossible for them. We see all of that, like I said, like we said earlier in this service. We see all of that in a lot of the scientific discoveries that are being made, a lot of the technological advancement, aeronautics, all of these great accomplishments of human beings. Nothing they have imagined. It's the potential of the mind. It's the potential, the greatest potential in the life of any human being is the mind. Glory to God. I want to take a little break and read a little bit from, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Glory to God. Hallelujah. I want to read an excerpt from one of our Abundant Life publications from several years ago. Actually, it was one of the first publications that we ever did. And there's a section in this book that's titled Take the Limits Off. I want to just read this. I'm going to read it for a little bit. Where are we? 40 minutes. Hallelujah. The Lord is helping us. I have ways to go, but we'll stop. We'll stop in good time. The Lord is helping us. This subsection in this book is called Take the Limits Off. Beloved, it is important for you to understand that in spite of the promises God has made for your blessing, your mind will play a most important role in determining how much of that increase you can experience. The greatest battle in the life of any human being occurs in the mind. Whatever you can touch with your mind will become a reality in your life. So it is important that you renew your mind consistently with the Word of God so that the limits are taken off in every area of your life. The writer of Proverbs says, a man is what he thinks. So if you must be blessed, you must think blessing. If you will become holy, you must think holy thoughts. If you must increase, you must think thoughts of increase. He cites Isaiah chapter 54 and verse 2. I'm just going to skip that and keep reading here. Wow, isn't this exciting? God says he will do great things in your life, but he needs you to do something. He needs you to begin from your mind. Clear grounds by taking out the junk you grew up on. Get rid of all the religious unbelief you have assumed for years. Cast down those thoughts that suggest you are glorifying God by suffering lack, insufficiency, and failure. Start enlarging the coast of your mind. Start thinking big. And I might add, start thinking blessed. Start thinking peace, shalom. Start thinking growth. Start thinking healing. Start thinking favor. Start thinking promotion. Start thinking godliness. Start thinking big. Start painting a new picture of blessing, increase, and success on the canvas of your imagination. That's in the mind. Start painting a new picture of blessing, increase, and success on the canvas of your imagination. Let the Holy Spirit help you focus on His Word through meditation. It all begins in the mind. If you can stretch in your mind and start believing, things will change around you. Hallelujah. If you can stretch in your mind and start believing by thinking thoughts of God, by thinking the same thoughts that God thinks, things will change not only inside you, but things will change around you. Glory to God. Glory to God. All right. Let's look at one or two more things here before we close tonight. Glory to God. When we started off on our journey, on our spiritual journey, we were babies. I mean, spiritually. You could have given your life to Christ as a 70-year-old man or 80-year-old woman. You were still a spiritual baby. So we thought childish and childlike thoughts. Our minds were not renovated to think spiritually mature thoughts. A lot of our decisions were not sound decisions. The Bible says God has not forced, 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 7. I think I'm going to try to close out there tonight. Hopefully I can close out there. There's one more scripture beyond that I wish I could do tonight. But when we were, regardless of how old you were in the natural, when you started your spiritual journey, we were spiritually immature. We thought like spiritual children. But as we continue to walk with God, something must change. We must not continue to think like spiritual children. Spiritually, we must not continue to act like spiritual children. Something must change by the renovation of our minds. And as we go forward in some of our subsequent teachings, I'm going to give us practical ways, several practical steps to getting our minds renewed to the Word of God, to getting our minds renovated so that our lives can become elevated. Now, Paul said, and I want us to read this scripture. Paul said in 1 Corinthians chapter 13 and verse 11, I want to read it from the Living Bible. It's time to change our thinking. It's time to step up. It's time to renovate our minds. It's time to take control. To not keep thinking, but I can't help it. Not keep saying, I don't know how to change. It's time to take control of our thinking. Paul said in 1 Corinthians chapter 13 and verse 11, I'm going to read this from the Living Bible. He says, it's like this. When I was a child, I spoke and I thought and I reasoned as a child does. Talking spiritually now. When I was a spiritual child, spiritually immature Christian, listen to what he says. I spoke like a spiritually immature Christian. I thought like a spiritually immature, childish Christian. I acted and I reasoned. All of this is in the mind. Like a child, it says. I thought like a child. I spoke like a child. I reasoned like a child, spiritually speaking. All of this was in the mind. Notice though, he says, but when I became a man or a spiritually mature believer in God, after walking with God for a while, after walking with the Holy Spirit for some time, after growing in my relationship with God for some time, he says, I put away childish things. When I became a man, my thoughts grew far beyond those of my childhood, and now I have put away childish things. So that means there is something wrong if we are still continuing to think like we thought when we first gave our lives to Christ. If our minds have not been reconditioned, renovated, so that they think different. Notice he says there, when I became a man or spiritually mature, my thoughts grew far beyond those of my childhood. How pathetic that a lot of believers still think exactly the same realms of thoughts that they thought when they were childs, when they were childish Christians, when they were at the beginning of their walk with God, when they were children, spiritual children. A lot of believers, unfortunately, a lot of ministers, a lot of leaders, a lot of pastors still think those same childish thoughts that they thought when they first came into Christ. Paul said, no, my thought, when I became a man or a mature Christian, my thoughts grew beyond my childhood. So many believers have minds that are undeveloped, unrenovated, unrenewed, unconditioned. And so they continue to think the same childhood thoughts, the same thoughts they had in their childhood. Their thinking has not outgrown their childhood stage in their Christian lives. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. It's time to renew our minds with the word of God. I got to stop. Hallelujah. I got to stop tonight. So much ground I haven't covered, but praise God. Thank you, Holy Spirit. We give you praise tonight. Say this confession, make this confession of faith with me. I'm full of the spirit of wisdom. I am in the right place at the right time with the right plans and the right pursuits. I am separated and elevated. I am lifted by the favor of God and carried by his grace. I am led. I am ahead. I am blessed. I am the head. I have rest on every side, and I reap the rewards of faithfulness. Faithful is he who began this work in me, and he will also finish it in grand style. I have the mind of Christ. I think the thoughts of God. I walk in God's due order, and this is my due season. I am anointed with fresh oil and replenished with the dew of heaven. There is no lack and no stress, no dryness and no tiredness, no weakness and no sickness. The Ruach of God is breathing on my mind. The same spirit that raised up Jesus from the dead quickens my body and my bones. I'm sharp as a tack, and my memory is blessed and renewed. I will go out with joy and be led forth with peace. The mountains and the hills will break out with singing before me, and all the trees of the field will clap their hands in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Amen. Father, we thank you so much for your mighty blessings upon our lives today. Thank you for feeding us with the manna from heaven through your word. God, I thank you as you help us to take a hold of the words that you've spoken to us. God, that our minds are being renovated and our lives are being elevated. We are thinking the thoughts of God. We are receiving the mind of Christ that we have been given. I give you the glory and the praise. I bless every one of my brothers and sisters, everyone under the sound of my voice tonight.
cause them to prosper in the things wherewith you have sent your word in their lives. I give you thanks, Father. I give you the glory. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen. Amen. Thank you so much, saints. Yeah, we did it again, 55 minutes. We're going to get it right one of these days. The Lord is going to help us. I know, I believe it. I see it coming. We're going to finish in good time. I hope you were blessed. We're out of time. I look forward to seeing you same time next week. God bless you. Good night.